Welcome to Sound Healing Radio. My name's David Gibson, and our guest today is John Monroe. Hi, John.
Hey, how you doing, David?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm hanging in there.
John has done work on helping people with their sight. And before we get into it, though, I want to set our intention. And I was thinking that it would be good to set the intention that everybody's sight who has an issue with their sight, or even people that don't, clears up, gets clearer, and everybody sees clearly. Wouldn't that be an amazing thing if everybody could just see clearly? We'll set our intention for that to actually begin happening in this show. And I'll hold that frequency while we're speaking. So you've worked with, with Deborah Banker.
Yeah, Dr. Deborah Banker, an MD ophthalmologist, general practitioner. She was also an herbologist, nutritionalist, and acupuncturist.
Uh-huh.
And she did a lot of work in energy healing and herbal medicines and, diet, exercise, attitude changes, lifestyle changes, organic natural foods. And she was an amazing eye doctor. And she did pass away in May of 2007 of breast cancer. But I've been working with her since 1992 every day, and in the clinic and our expos and workshops and all types of stuff. And when I met her, I was having eye problems myself from radial keratotomy. This surgery is supposed to improve your eyesight. And I had the surgery, and it only improved my eyesight about 50%. This was in 1980. Mm-hmm. And about 9 years later, I had all kinds of major eye problems develop from it.
Well,
and a friend of mine introduced me to her in Malibu, California, where she had her clinic. And this doctor was healing blindness non-surgically, and it just was amazing to see people come to her that would go to 20 different doctors, and they'd have different eye disorders, and they couldn't help them, and after a week or two of working with her and her devices and other supplements and herbs and eye exercises, they would start seeing again.
Wow. Wow. I have to tell you, I saw a video of a healing that happened in a foreign country, in a third world country, that Pat Moffat Cook actually took. And she actually had this video of this woman who was completely blind.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a shaman there, and he did like a toning and this whole like sound thing.
Yeah, with sound vibration
with his voice. And mm-hmm. in that moment, her eyesight came back.
Well, a lot of times there can be blockages in energies that flow around in your body. And even Dr. Banker, we used to use sound therapy for treatments on people. And the vibrations and sound waves help open blockages of energies that flow around through your meridians and chakras.
Mm-hmm.
And it also rejuvenates the cells and gets the down at a subatomic level. It charges up the cells and gets them growing again and doing all kinds of things.
What kind of sound did she use?
Well, we would use different drums, and one time we had a guy there, and he was having problems, and we were putting probably a 12-inch diameter little drum you'd hold in your hand over his kidneys, and we'd hit it and just sit there and hit it, and these sounds would go in, and the vibrations, after a few days of this, he had a lot of improvement, and we got his kidneys working again.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and a lot of different things. Like you said, with shamans, where they're hitting different notes with their voices.
Mm-hmm.
And I pulled in some big, 18-inch woofer speakers and recorded some keyboard low bass notes,
mm-hmm.
On the on a tape. And we used to play that, and these low bass sound frequencies we'd use on the liver and kidneys, the pancreas, the eyes. And a lot of things would open up and start working better.
Mm. Because we sell sound tables, and I do music production for the sound tables
right.
that have subwoofers built into them. So
right.
It'd be interesting to do some.
Well, like if you had a room, say, and you had the walls where you have these big woofers and different sized woofers, and someone could just sit in there,
mm-hmm.
and then you turn this on, and these sound frequencies are coming through, and waves, sound waves. You can do all kinds of things to help the body, lower blood pressure, open circulation. And when you open circulation up in the body, a lot of things can reverse when you get more blood flow to the cells. So you could make like a sound chamber where
uh-huh.
people sit in.
Yeah, well, the sound chamber is nice, but if you have a table and you're actually connected to the speaker,
right.
It's really, I mean, there's nothing more powerful
yeah.
than that.
Well, you were telling me the other day about something you're working on where you can see the organs.
Yeah, a virtual reality system where you could actually put a visual of a sound inside a virtual reality image of your own body, and then at that point the sound will move up and down on the sound table so you could feel it inside your body
wow.
right where you're seeing it. You know, it'd be really cool to have a virtual reality image of your own eye. And you would be able to see it. You would see it as a mirror image as you look up. You see it on
right.
the screen above you, looking back at you from while you're laying on the sound
right.
table. And then you could take a very specific type of image, like a specific type of sacred geometry image, and have it go right into your eye in virtual reality. And then we could actually localize the sound very specifically in the eye as well. So, you know, I'm really interested to hear the perspective you've got, because it makes me think there's just some really miracles that could actually be created in the future.
Well, Dr. Banker was a lot of people thought she was an angel sent here from heaven to heal blindness.
Well, you know, first of all, can you give me like a kind of a perspective, an overview of the eye and the different types of things and issues that happen to the eye,
right.
and then later we can get into the different types of treatments that.
Well, I can go on for hours with this, but I will try to keep
it, huh?
You know, short little segments on things. Dr. Banker developed a self-help vision care kit that people can actually get this and work with it at home by themselves. And improve nearsightedness, farsightedness, presbyopia, lazy eye, night vision. And when someone gets this and learns this program, they become a holistic, complementary eye doctor. And that was just one of her things. And she also studied Chinese medicine, medicine of India, Tibet, Western medicine, and she just figured out how all these energies flowed around in the body from the different organs. And it was just incredible how she developed this seeds device. And when I met her, it was kind of a crude thing. It looked like something a girl would make, you know.
I'm sorry, what type of device did you say?
It was called the seeds device, that subtle electromagnetic energy delivery system.
Huh.
And when I saw this thing, I was like, wow, you know, and she was using this to treat people. And I said, well, you know, we have to make this more, professional looking. So I redesigned the product, and it even worked more efficiently, and I built these things for her. I actually have some of them sitting here with me right now. And we've used the one machine I have here, we've used this on several thousand patients. And just in 3 to 5 days of treatment, people with macular degeneration, cataracts, glaucoma, retinitis pigmentosis, diabetic retinopathy, you know, iritis. There's tons of eye problems. But they would improve in just a week or two of treatment with this. And the way the treatment works is they would lay down on a table or mattress, you know, a cushion, and these electro pads are put over the eyes, and you would just lay there and try to be as relaxed as you could. If the patient would go to sleep, it worked even better. And you didn't want to be like uptight or emotionally upset when you would do these treatments. The more relaxed and calm that you are and more positive about it, it just seemed to work better. But you would lay there for like 3 hours, and you could get up, you know, every hour and take a few minute break if you had to. And then you do a break for lunch, and then they would come back and do another 3 hour treatment. And I swear, just after 3 days of treatment, people would be telling me how they could see this better and that, and these people couldn't see for years. You know, they were legally blind. A lot of them couldn't drive. And we got a lot of these people driving again, reading again. It was just amazing. And the more I worked with it, the more I would learn this stuff. And, you know, I've never seen anybody heal blindness like this.
Wow. So it's putting electromagnetic fields into
the frequencies, electromagnetic fields of the body.
Frequencies also?
Yeah, the machine puts out subtle energy frequencies,
and
it kind of works with different light colors, and the different colors create different frequencies. Mm-hmm. And we would also treat the eyes, and we would put electrodes over the liver and the kidneys and the spleen and treat all these areas.
Mm-hmm.
And we would change the diet of the people, you know, get them off of coffee, tea, cigarettes, alcohol, fatty fried foods, you know, animal products. And we also use the full range of different Chinese herbal medicines
mm-hmm.
that you can actually get right there in San Francisco. I mean, you live in a mecca of Chinese medicine right there in Chinatown.
Nice.
Yeah.
And so with the so you put colors and electromagnetism. How did she come up with this, you think?
Well, when she was in college, you know, she went to universities for 15 years right out of high school. And she was like an A-plus student, just a genius, the IQ of this woman and her creativity. And a few years into college, she was having trouble reading, and she had to hire people to read for her because her eyes were just getting so messed up from reading so much in medical school. And then she found a book by Dr. William Bates. And back in the early 40s and late 30s, he had guys in the Air Force doing eye exercises, pilots, you know, that flew the bombers and stuff so they could see better. And he really is probably one of the earlier pioneers that started this. And she started doing these eye exercises, and then she found out, like, what people in China do when they go to the eye doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And what do people do when they go to the eye doctor in Tibet or India, you know. Say someone can't read good and they go to the eye doctor in India. Well, they have eye exercises that you do, and they would start seeing better. And the problem, when you can't see up close, there's a muscle inside of your eye, and it goes around the lens in your eye. It's behind the pupil and the iris.
Mm-hmm.
And this muscle it's called the ciliary body or the ciliary muscle, but it's also a sphincter muscle. And what it does is the lens behind your pupil, when you bring small print up to read it, the brain will squeeze this muscle. It's kind of like a loop around a balloon. If you tighten a loop, you know, the balloon would bulge out.
Mm-hmm.
So when the muscle squeezes, the brain squeezes it to try and focus on what you're reading, and then your lens will actually bulge out to focus. It's a focusing mechanism in your eye. So that's how you read up close. And when you can't read up close, you have presbyopia, and that's what that's called. It's not nearsighted or farsighted. It's a little different. But
what's the difference between that and farsightedness?
Well, farsightedness and nearsightedness, that's trouble seeing. Nearsightedness, you can't see way out in the distance.
Mm-hmm.
And farsightedness, you might not be able to see, you know, 15 or 20 feet in front of you very good, but you can see far away.
So presbyopia?
Presbyopia is trouble reading small print.
Uh-huh.
And the reason people develop presbyopia is that when they read, if you watch people when they read, they tend to hold what they're reading one position from their eyes. And what happens is the brain squeezes the ciliary muscle to focus, and then it gets stuck there because you're holding what you're reading just one distance from your eyes. So what the Chinese do when they read, every 5 or 6 minutes, they will move their head back about 6 inches from what they're reading. And then the brain has to move the ciliary muscle to refocus. And then they'll read for 5 or 10 minutes, and then they'll move their head forward 6 inches, and the brain has to move the ciliary muscle again to refocus. But when you stare at what you're reading for an hour, and you just sit there and read, the muscle will tighten up, and then it stays in that one position. and that damages the ciliary muscle over the years.
I see.
So by the time you're 35 or 40, this muscle is hardened up and it doesn't want to, you know, it's not flexible like it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And the brain will try to squeeze it and it doesn't want to squeeze properly.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't see good.
So does the seed device, is kind of like massaging it then?
Well, for these problems, we use more eye exercises to loosen these muscles up, and we get people reading properly, you know, moving their head back and forward. Now, the SEEDS device is used more for, you know, early stages of eye problems like cataracts, glaucoma, you know, macular degeneration, you know,
more,
the retinitis pigmentosa.
Stuff, yeah.
And we use that more for the treatment of an eye disease.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, the eye exercises help, too, because when you exercise these muscles, you increase the blood circulation to the eye.
Uh-huh.
So it all kind of works together.
Uh-huh. So can you tell us a little bit about what the eye exercise is like?
All right. Well, there's six muscles that move your eye around, up and down, left and right, in circles, and they're attached about in the middle of your eyeball, and they attach to the eye socket. And what happens is these muscles can tighten up and hold tension. And when they tighten up, they kind of squeeze the eye, and they can cause the eye to be more elongated, or they can push the eye forward, and it elongates up and down. And they cause near and farsightedness. So there are eye exercises you do that can release the tension in the muscle. Because these muscles hold tension and they don't release it. You have to do it yourself, or they will just keep getting tighter and tighter and your prescriptions keep getting stronger and stronger.
Mm-hmm.
So you learn what is tightening these muscles up and how to keep from doing that and how to release the tension, you know, like anger, stress, being emotionally upset, lifting heavy weight, your diet. Has a lot to do with these muscles, and they can tighten up and hold the tension. So through the exercises, you learn how to loosen these up. And once you do, you just start seeing the eye chart better. You know, we have in the kit, the vision improvement kit, there's a Big E Snellen eye chart to check your distance vision. And before and after each exercise, you check your vision, and all that happens is you just start reading the eye chart better and seeing better. And then with the ciliary muscle inside of the eye, there are exercises you can do that tighten the muscle up and loosen it, tighten it and loosen it. And as you do that, it becomes more flexible, and there's a near vision card in the kit that you can check your reading vision with. And you just start seeing that card, you know, the chart better. And I've had people, the other day I was working with a lady, and in about a half hour, she went from like 20/50, and then all of a sudden, she's reading a 20/20 line. You know, she couldn't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just getting the tension out of these muscles.
Are the results, what percentage of results you have, do you think?
Well, you know, it's kind of like an exercise bike. If you don't use it, it's not going to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But the more you use it, the more you see your vision improving, the more you can do this, and the more you quit getting angry and upset, and you know, you change your diet and try to be in a better mood, and keep these muscles from tightening up around the eye, and then, like I said, you adjust your position between what you're reading as you read, even on the computer, or you know, if you're reading a book or the newspaper, these things won't happen. These problems tend to go away. And it takes about 15-20 minutes to run through the eye exercises. You can do it every day, every other day. As you go along with this, you can check your vision with your eye charts, and when you start seeing a little blurry, you can do the exercises again. So it's kind of a workout program for the eyes.
Can you share some of them with us, or do we have to get the kit?
Well, I can, one of them for, say, the ciliary muscle for presbyopia. It's called a thumb push-up, and this is from, I believe, India. It might be a Chinese exercise or India, but you hold your hand straight out in front of you. You push your arm all the way out and make a fist out in front of your face, and you lift your thumb up, and your thumb will be out right in front of your nose, kind of straight out there, you know, when you put your hand out. And what you do is you look at the little wrinkles on your thumb, right under your thumbnail. And that's where you concentrate your vision. So you're staring at the wrinkles on the thumb, and you bring it in very slowly towards your nose, about 2 inches. And then you stop, and you take a few breaths. You inhale through your nose, exhale through your mouth, and you do this for about 3, maybe 5 seconds. And then you bring the thumb 2 more inches in towards your nose, and you're looking at the wrinkles in the thumb, the skin there under your thumbnail. And you take a few more breaths, relax, and you bring it in a few more inches, just 2 inches, and then you stop, take a few more breaths, and you do this until your thumb gets up towards your nose. Mm-hmm. And as it comes up towards your nose, it might get a little blurry. So what you do is you take a few breaths, and you look at the thumb until the wrinkles in the skin clear up, and then you bring it in 2 more inches. And you do that till you get about 4 inches from your nose, and then you put your hand down. And what that does is you bring it in like that, it's tightening up the ciliary muscle around the lens. And then when you stop the thumb push-up, the muscle will relax. And you might do 10 of those, you know, 3 times a day. And I've seen people just doing those start reading the chart a lot better, you know. And that's just a simple thumb push-up. But there are other exercises, use diagrams and drawings to work with, to exercise the ciliary muscle.
And
then when you're nearsighted or farsighted, there's an exercise, the yoga directional eye exercises. And what you do here is you hold your head still and you look as far up as you can. You look up and down, up and down. And you'll do that, say, 25 times, up and down, up and down. You don't want to go real slow. You kind of go up, down, up, down, up, down. And you do that 25 times. And then you look as far to your left and as far to your right. You go left, right with your eyes. And you do that 25 times. And if you look at the exercise, it looks like a plus sign. So, you know, the up and down part of the plus is looking up and down. And then the line coming across is looking left and right. So you'll do like 25 times each. Then there's an X. And you take your eye and you'll go up diagonally from the bottom to the top, up and down, kind of diagonally, like an X. And you'll do that 25 times. And then you go diagonally the other way, up and down, like an X, you know. And you do 25 times up and down at an angle. And then you do circles with your eyes. You go all the way around the visual field with your eyes in circles, and you go to the left. You'll do circles to the left 25 times, and then you stop, and you'll do circles to the right 25 times, going around in the, to the right in a circle with your eyes. And then you will do, it's a figure eight on its side, not a figure eight upright, but on its side. Mm-hmm. So you go to the left with your eye in a circle, and then you go to the right with your right eye in a circle, then take your left eye and go in a circle to the left, kind of like a figure eight.
Infinity.
And you can do 25 of those. And that will improve, that helps improve nearsightedness and farsightedness by stretching the outer eye muscles. It stretches the muscles out as you do it and gets the tension out of them. But there's several different exercises in the kit. And you might do this exercise and notice, hey, that really, you know, I'm seeing a few lines better. Then you might do another one and check your vision and go, well, that helped a little. So, you know, the different exercises on different days will have different effects on the muscle.
This sounds great. I mean, you know, it occurs to me that something that might be really helpful while you're doing that as well is to intuitively just think as to what tone will help those muscles. And then to make that sound of that tone and just focus your sound mentally on those muscles.
Well, you can...
While you're
can,
doing the exercises. Give
you can sit
sound.
There and go... Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And even
you know, like in an A tone.
And the reason I say that is, you know, we have an instructor, a previous instructor that had breast cancer.
Right.
And she actually focused her voice on the breast cancer, and it's been gone for 6 years now.
That's great. That's what happened to Dr. Banker. She had breast cancer, and she had it for 6 years, and it just finally just went crazy and spread, and she died from it. But there are different types of breast cancer. You know, some are non-aggressive, some of them are more aggressive, and some of them are extremely aggressive. And her sister actually died of cancer 5 years before she did.
Yeah.
And she always said it was very stressful going through medical school and all the work. And I don't know. I don't know if there's something in the air or the water. I talked to a scientist in Colorado Springs, and he took these devices. You know, they purify the air. The air goes through them, and they clean the air. And he took the filter out after a month and put a Geiger counter over it, and he was getting, you know, readings from the Geiger counter, and he thinks there's a lot of radioactive particles in the air, and that, you know, women are breathing this, and that a lot of women are getting breast cancer, and he thinks it's from radiation in the air, and could be things in the water. And
so, would you say, are there specific organs that are tied to the eyes more than others?
Oh yeah, the liver, the kidney, the spleen. And the bladder, the liver makes vitamin A for the eyes, and your kidneys and spleen and bladder, they have a lot to do with your eyesight also. So you want to work on those organs to improve eyesight.
Right. So there's any specific herbs or any specific diet that...
Well, you know, the... you know, certified organic foods are excellent. And then there's the, you know, you want 100% natural, non-processed foods, no artificial flavors, you know, ingredients. And the more your body is detoxified and clean, and the more energy you have, the better your whole body's going to work. And, you know, a lot of people don't drink enough water during the day. And a lot of people that get dry eye, it's a problem with the eye. A lot of that's from being dehydrated. You know, drinking alcohol, coffee and tea, they dehydrate the body. So you should drink at least an 8-ounce glass of water every hour that you're awake. And that can help improve eyesight and lubrication of the eye, and it helps improve a lot of dry eye conditions. So your diet's real important, you know, fatty fried foods, canola oil, and soy oil. They cause the red blood cells to clump together. It's called clumping. And these blood cells, they go down through the blood vessels, and they get to the capillaries, and they can't get into the capillaries. And they can clog the blood vessel and cause, you know, the blood vessel to burst in your eye, and then you get a lot of blood in your eye.
You say canola and soy oil?
Well, soy oil and canola oil and animal fats can cause this clumping. And you should definitely try to stay away from that. But central vein occlusion in the eye is where the blood vessel would get clogged up, and it backs up the pressure, and then it can burst, and all this blood goes into your eye. And that's a, you know, big problem. And if you're too dehydrated, you can also get floaters in your eye, little black pieces that are floating around in your visual field. And that can be dried vitreous gel, or it can be blood cells that are causing these floaters. So when you hydrate the inner eye more, the floaters tend to reattach to the vitreous gel, and they go away. And the vitreous gel is what's inside of your eye. It's about the thickness of the egg whites of an egg. And the vitreous gel sits on top of the retina, which is the inner lining of the eye. And right around where it sits on the retina, it can dry up in there, and little pieces of it break off and float around in your field. And also when people are constipated and can't have a bowel movement, you know, and they're struggling to go to the bathroom, blood can actually be squeezed out of the retina into the eye, the blood cells, and you'll see those floating around. And also people that lift heavy weight, you know, maybe people that unload trucks or construction workers, you know, people lifting heavy weight, they can have a problem with the blood coming out of the retina in the eye.
You know, it's interesting. Years ago, when my eyesight first started getting bad where I needed reading glasses. I was with a medical intuitive, and he turned to me. I said, my eyes are starting to get worse finally. And he said, he turned to me and he looked at me and looked inside me basically and said, bile.
He said what?
He said bile.
Yeah.
And I said, bile? And he said, yeah, bile. That's what's causing it. You know, the green bile. And that's all he said. That's nothing else.
Oh, that was causing your reading problem?
That's what he said, was the bile was had something to do with my eyes starting
right.
to finally go bad.
Well, basically, Dr. Banker would tell you it's from the way that you're reading. But, you know, it could be your diet and,
uh-huh.
and the way your intestines are working. And, you know, a lot of things can affect the eye. They're very sensitive. They're like a thermometer in the body. And the problem with eyeglasses is they help you see better, but they only help the symptom. They don't go to the cause of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't work on these eye exercises and your diet and so forth, the muscles will tighten up and get more out of shape, and that's why your prescriptions get stronger in your lenses.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, you're actually becoming more blind.
Mm.
So eyeglasses let your vision get worse. And when you're nearsighted or farsighted, there's a thing called diopters, and that's your pretty much your prescription. You know, say you're nearsighted, and you look at your glasses, it'll say minus 8.0. And those are your diopters. And some people will be 2.0, 3.0, you know, 4.5. But when you get up to 8.0, you're getting pretty nearsighted. And what happens is your eye is getting more elongated like an egg. You know, it's not round like a golf ball.
Mm-hmm.
So what can happen, people that are very high myopic, you know, minus 8, minus 10. I mean, I've seen people that are minus 16. And the eye is so elongated that the retina, the inner lining of the eye, can actually tear and detach. And that's from being too nearsighted and too far, you know, farsighted. So when you wear the glasses and your prescriptions are getting stronger and stronger, that just means your eye's getting more elongated and you're getting more prone to having a detached retina.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a severe problem. You can lose a lot of your visual field, and it's a really nasty surgery to reattach a retina. And then when you wear reading glasses, trifocals, and bifocals, after 10 years of use, you can start developing cataracts and glaucoma. And the way that happens is you start having trouble seeing, so you go get reading glasses, and you put those on, and you can read fine. But it kind of fools the brain, and it doesn't move the ciliary body anymore. It kind of paralyzes that muscle around the lens. And when the ciliary muscle, when it tightens up and it loosens and moves around, it secretes fluids that go into your lens, which is sitting in a sac. And those fluids bring in lubrication, oxygen, and nutrition to your lens. So when you start wearing reading glasses or trifocals, bifocals, you have cut off the ciliary muscle moving anymore, and your lens is not getting any oxygen, lubrication, or nutrition. And after about 10 years of this, you start developing cataracts.
Mm.
And also, the ciliary muscle, when it tightens up, it pulls on what's called the Schlemm's canal. And that's a drain that goes around your iris. It's where the white skin of the eye, which is called the sclera, meets the colored part of the iris. And all the way around the iris, there's a little drain there. And when the ciliary muscle tightens, it actually pulls on the Schlemm's canal and helps open it up to let fluid out that's made inside of your eye. It comes through the pupil into the cornea, and then it drains out under the white part of the eye, the sclera. So using the reading glasses, and usually with reading glasses, you end up in bifocals and then trifocals, and you know, then you're into all kinds of problems. And I've seen this. I mean, I've been working with Dr. Banker since 1992, and I've seen it through thousands of patients, you know, and you'll ask them, well, how long have you been using the bifocals? Oh, 12 years, you know, and they've got cataracts developing. And it's just so, it's just amazing that how she told the truth about everything, where other eye doctors, they just do surgery or prescribe glasses, and they haven't done the research into this like she did.
Mm-hmm. So what is astigmatism?
Well, astigmatism is where the cornea is shaped differently than a normal. A normal cornea has a certain curve to it. And when the cornea, say, it'll have a dent in it or it'll be out of shape, it's not perfectly curved, it causes what's called astigmatism. And some doctors I've talked to have said that's from squinting a lot. You know, people that squint can squeeze the cornea and cause it to be different, you know, become shaped different. But Dr. Banker always said that the six eye muscles that move the eye around, the outer eye muscles, you know, they tighten up and hold tension. But then you'll have one of these muscles that's tighter than the rest of them. And it's actually pulling on the sclera, you know, the white part of the eyeball. Mm-hmm. And as it pulls on that part of the eye, it changes the shape of the cornea. And that's what causes these astigmatisms, is from squinting or, you know, a tight eye muscle. So we found that most cases when they do these eye exercises, like the directional eye exercise I was telling you about earlier, the vision will improve, the muscles loosen up, and the astigmatism corrects itself. So you actually get rid of it.
So you mentioned something about using the electromagnetic field,
right,
to reverse the blinding diseases.
Well, say for macular degeneration, mm-hmm, the macular area is in the back of your eye. It's next to the optic nerve, and your vision comes through the lens in your eye, and then it hits on the back of the eye in the macular area. So Dr. Banker always said that macular degeneration was from a circulatory problem with the way the blood is flowing through the little blood vessels inside of your eye in the retina.
Mm-hmm.
And these little blood vessels are about the diameter of the human hair, and they're above the macular and below it. And say you're drinking a couple cups of coffee a day. Coffee is full of tannic acid, and tannic acid constricts little blood vessels in your body. They tighten up, and it also causes liver disease and a lot of other problems. But if you don't have proper blood flow into the retina, then the cells in the macular area, they're not getting blood and oxygen and nutrition, you know, from the blood circulation. And the cells can actually start swelling up, and they can die, and you start losing your sight. And when we work with people with macular degeneration, we change their diet. There's a Chinese herbal medicine. It's called Lycium Ramanya, and this nourishes the retina and strengthens it. And you can take hawthorn berry. There's other things you can take, gota cola, that open circulation in the body. You know, the blood vessels open up and let more blood flow. You get off the canola oil, the soy oil, the animal fats. And that alone can help macular degeneration improve. And then we'd have people do treatments with our seeds device. And these energy frequencies go into the cell, and at the subatomic level, they charge the cells up, you know, the proton, the neutron, the nucleus, all the different parts of the cell at an atomic level. And the cells would start growing again, and it would take swelling out of cells. And as you do that, the vision starts coming back, you know. So it's amazing stuff. The woman was like Nikola Tesla, you know, of the eyes, or Thomas Edison or somebody. She was incredible.
My friend here just showed me an eyesight enhancer from David Wolf's book on sun food diets.
Right.
Which is, and it's actually four oranges, four lemons, four limes, two grapefruits, two tangerines, and 10 Phaiolas, which are
right.
Pineapple guavas?
Guava and papaya and aloe vera juice is real good for hydrating the eye.
Mm.
And you get a lot of phytonutrients, you know, from fruits and vegetables.
Uh-huh.
And they help the cells a lot. And from all those, you get a lot of vitamin C, and that's really good for the eyes.
Mm.
You know, it's an antioxidant. So, yes, you know, lemon water, you know, lime and water, all your fruits and vegetables are excellent for the eyes and the rest of your body. And spinach is high in lutein, and that's really good. We've seen macular degeneration, retinitis pigmentosis, diabetic retinopathy improve. But it's the American diet, all the grease and the artificial flavors and colors, you know, eating just fake food, lack of exercise and circulation. It causes all kinds of problems, cancer and diabetes and eye problems. So, not drinking enough water, it all adds up and can cause a lot of problems.
For the most part,
your diet's
too bad, you don't have to worry about losing your sight because you're just going to die before it anyway.
Well, you know, there's a lot of things coming out where, you know, people could live for 1,000 years if they had the right attitude and the right proper diet and exercise. And the things that bring people down are getting emotionally upset, getting angry, you know, drugs, cigarettes, alcohol, just everything that people consume and just living in this the dark ages that we live in.
You know, I have to tell you, I saw an article just this week in the news where they said that they've done research that found that if you simply play a song that you like, that it actually helps your heart. They've done
You feel better, you feel good. Anything that makes you feel good, or you know when you feel good and when you're not.
Uh-huh, right.
You know, when you get up and, hey, you feel good today, man. You're ready to go have a good time. Or you might get up and it's just, you know, you're just bummed out, the weather's bad, or, you know, you're just down about stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, it happens.
I've got a question that's pretty out there to ask you.
All right.
You know, I've heard from a few people lately, including one of our instructors, that looking into the sun can actually be very good for your eyes.
Right. That's called sunning. And I was doing it today. I do it every day.
Really?
I'll sit down for like 15 minutes in a chair, and I look at the sun, but you got to have your eyes closed.
Uh-huh.
And what you do is you look right up at the sun with your eyes closed, and the sunlight shines on your eyes and your face. And the energy, you know, the either solar energy or whatever you want to call it, cosmic rays of the sun, the light frequencies, they stimulate the cells in the eye and they help charge them up.
Mm-hmm.
And sunning is real good. And when you're sitting there with your eyes closed looking at the sun, you can take your hands and you spread your fingers out on both hands and you put them right in front of your face and you move like your left hand in front of your right hand back and forth, you know, your fingers going back and forth in front of each other. And that's called strobing. And it causes a strobing effect on the retina, and that helps the rods and the cones in the retina work better.
Wow.
And when the rods come out, they pick up more black and white. When the cones come out, they pick up color. And I don't know if you have a light on nearby, but you can close your eyes, look at the light, and then move your fingers in front of each other, mm-hmm. in front of your eyes, and you'll see the strobing effect that I'm talking about.
It makes me think that... you know, the strobing lights that are the red LEDs, or there's actually quite a few that entrain your brain into different brainwave states.
Right.
I assume those would be really, really good for your eyes as
right.
well, because they're exercising
sure.
them, right?
Well, Deborah, you know, Dr. Banker, I've worked with a lot of bands, and I've played guitar in bands, and she said that the stage lighting, you know, when bands play, the different color lights that come down off the lighting, they help energize the body, you know, the different light colors and frequencies. And, you know, bands out there playing every night, that's why they stay young. And they're in good shape because they're happy and they're playing music and the sound frequencies from the amplifiers and you got the light frequencies from the lights. And it helps keep people, you know, younger.
Uh-huh. That's great. That's great.
So you don't want to get depressed and upset. That's the worst thing you can do. I mean, the Nazis in World War II were into all this, and you know, they knew if they could bum people out and make them upset and crazy that, you know, it was bad for them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, poisons. They were into so many terrible things, but you don't want to get down about stuff. You can't let things bother you. You got to stay positive, you know.
Yeah, that's where the whole sound healing, everything
right.
you do comes in.
Well, I'm real interested in what you're doing with the, you know, virtual reality and stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's also, you know, just about getting yourself into higher consciousness, which is the opposite of being bummed.
Right.
You know, and into really high frequencies of love, and just even the frequency of appreciation is the most basic one. You know?
Well, you can look at people that are, you know, you can vibe people that are around you. You can tell angry people and just people trying to draw off your energy and just bring you down, you know. Or you'll meet people that are uplifting and they're fun to be around, and that's who you should hang out with.
Yeah. Well, the tricky, you know, I mean, because we all, I've been thinking about it a lot lately, is exactly, you know, what brings people into these states. You know, and it's really, the trick is to find the moment when you're going into this emotional state. Because
right.
There's a lot of techniques for getting you out of emotions.
Oh, yeah.
If you can get to the awareness point where when you start to go into an emotion, then that's what's really cool.
Well, you know, if you're starting to get bummed out, go for a walk. Go get outside, get some sunlight. Call a friend of yours, you know, put on some music you like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're working a lot, it can stress you out.
Toning is one amazing thing.
You know, the weather, you know, it's real cloudy and it's gray out and it's raining, you know, and you don't have the sunlight, that can bring you down. You know, cold weather, just high gas prices, high food prices. George Bush, I mean, you know, they can tear you up.
I'm starting to get bummed now.
Yeah, well, we'll change the subject, but you see what I mean? It's, you know, just when the elections happen, you know, I've been a Democrat all my life, and just seeing Obama win, just after the election was over, I was just relieved, and all my friends in Boulder, that the whole city went nuts. I mean, people were beeping their horns, yelling.
Everywhere. It's not only all over the U.S. it happened, it's all over
the world
it happened.
Well,
it's really an amazing thing. I heard a radio show that was really, really great. They were talking about how so many people are actually talking about wanting to do service now for the country.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, not service as far as war, but service for, you know, just helping others and such. And they were talking. There's this whole movement now because they feel more connected to the actual goals.
Yeah. Well, you know, supposedly by Thanksgiving, regular gas should be down to $1 a gallon again.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Over here, it's dropping like 4 to 6 cents a day. It's
$1.99
a gallon
today.
How much?
$2.19.
Well, it's $1.99 here.
Wow.
A girl that works with me called me today and said, "Yeah, I just bought some gas for $1.86. It's dropping."
Yeah.
And what it is I've always noticed when Reagan was in there and Nixon, you know, they get in there for 8 years and all the prices go up, and then when they get out, the Democrats get in, all the prices come down.
Yeah. Well,
and
the trick
I think
is, regardless of what's happening, is to go to the things that we always appreciate. You know, just even when it's a cloudy day, to appreciate the fact that there's a sun still up there.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's just every single aspect of life, and there's just so many things to appreciate. And it's almost
people
like
should be glad they can see and they can drive and they can breathe and they don't have cancer or AIDS or diabetes. I mean,
even if they have something, there's still other parts of the body that feel good.
There's a lot to appreciate, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, that's why we use sound a lot, is to just to be able to use it as a portal to get you back above the line into these frequencies of feeling good, which is really what it's all about. And then you don't have to deal with, you know, having to fix these issues that you come up with.
Well, a lot of music nowadays, a lot of the metal music and a lot of these bands, They're just, you know, it's just depressing, noisy, reproductive type of music. It just goes around and around. It's just a bummer, you know, some guy screaming in the microphone.
Well,
you know, it's not
to
like
you, though,
listening to Jimi Hendrix or the Stones or something. It's not uplifting music.
Yeah, no, I agree. I wouldn't listen to it. But I have to tell you a really interesting story. I used to live with a woman who had a 16-year-old who was really... really a sweet kid, really nice, really, really positive. But he was in a death metal band.
Right.
And, you know, they would do the, you know, type stuff in the death metal.
Repetitious music.
Yeah, and his mom would get on his case, but she also, she was in a Japanese taiko drumming group.
Right.
You know, and whenever, I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen a Japanese taiko drumming group.
We have all types of drumming circles here in Boulder.
Yeah. Japanese, I mean, they scream it. I mean, when they play, they go, ah, you know, and they really scream intensely.
Right.
And it really gets the energy going. And finally, one day, he says, Mom, you're just doing the same thing I'm doing, or I'm doing the same thing you're doing.
Yeah, but a lot of the lyrics these guys have are just, you know, horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely not positive. There's positive aspects to it in that they're still doing something that is focusing energy.
Right.
And they're also working on their power because they have a weakness in power and they're trying to find a place where they can actually, let their power be. They can be in their own power.
Right.
You know, and so I think most of it's good for them. It's just, you know, I don't want to listen to that shit.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think I told you that, you know, I've worked with the Iron Butterfly and Quicksilver Messenger Service, and, you know, we used to do shows with the Grateful Dead and Jefferson Airplane, and, mm-hmm. you know, I've been all over the West Coast working with these guys. And when I met Dr. Banker, you know, I had eye problems from the radiokeratotomy surgery I was telling you about in the beginning of the show, and a friend of mine took me over and introduced me to her. And I'm also, I'm still in the Grip Union, Motion Picture Studio Grips, and I was doing a lot of this. I was playing in Mike Panera's band, his solo band, and working on movies and TV shows, and, you know, all of a sudden I had this major eye issue from this surgery, and that's how I met Dr. Banker. And, a lot of music's uplifting, a lot of it, you know, country music's very depressing, you know, and the blues. But, you know, rock and a lot of music is, you know, makes you feel good.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're in San Francisco. I'm sure everybody's heard of Quicksilver Messenger Service, man.
Yeah.
They were a lot of fun to go see a show. And, you know, you'd actually go to a concert in the 70s and you had fun, you know. But you go now and they're all trying to kill each other in the mosh pit, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, I think the next stage really is to actually find the very specific frequencies and the specific harmonic structures,
right.
which are the actual sound. I mean, because there's different tonalities, different timbres.
Yeah, the hertz and everything. You know, the megahertz.
Yeah, the frequency and the actual sound. Because, you know, we might find that a violin sound actually is better than a flute sound.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or
might
the
stimulate
maybe,
a different organ, you know.
Yeah. And so I think that, you know, I think it's really, it's kind of got me inspired. If anybody's listening, you know, I think that's really the future, really, is to find the various, because that's what's happening in this field everywhere.
Right. Well, like if you're doing an A note, it's going to put out a certain vibration. If you're doing a low E, you're going to get a lower vibration. And these
mm-hmm.
things all affect different chakras and meridians in the body,
yeah.
these different energies.
If I were to tune into my eyes right now,
right,
and I go, okay, I'm going to tune into those muscles behind my eyes and the whole eye compartment. First of all, it's a little resonant chamber. It's the whole part of the eye,
right.
And it's also someone else mentioned, one of my instructors mentioned, it's like part of a vesica piscis too, which is actually where two circles come together. So it's a really interesting
mm-hmm.
sacred geometry structure as well. And then you focus on the actual frequency that you feel might be that. This is what I would get. I would get.
Yeah.
Actually, a little higher than that.
It's a real high frequency. But what we do is we have put, say, someone that's nearsighted, right? We'll put up the eye chart 20 feet away, and, you know, they might be reading the 20/50 line. And then we would play like an A note for a few minutes and just have this A note going. And then we'd stop and they'd look at the eye chart again and see if they could see it any better. Nah, we're still seeing 20/50. But then we'd play like a G note or a low E or something. And then then they go, well, man, I'm reading the 20/30 line.
Huh.
So that's the way you can judge these different notes is by putting up an eye chart and play different notes at different levels.
Just go do the chromatic scale one
right.
by one.
Right.
Yeah,
and
that's exactly what we do to actually find the frequency of different organs as well.
Right.
So we'll play the chromatic scale, and we'll actually do muscle testing while doing it. And then, to find like the frequency of the heart, we'll actually have somebody look at an actual heart, a 3D graphic of a heart, and then go up and down the chromatic scale and do muscle testing until we find the frequency that actually strengthens the heart. You could do the same by looking at an image of the eye.
Well, you can do the same thing with someone that has high blood pressure. You take their blood pressure and then put them in a sound chamber. You start playing different notes and then check their blood pressure after each note and then find the one that lowers the blood pressure.
That's great.
That's how you can kind of do that, you know, with eye charts and checking blood pressure. And there's ways to check the pressure of the eye with thermometers, you know, they use to check your eye pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So people with glaucoma, we would play like an A note, an E note, and then check the eye pressure and see which note was bringing the pressure down in the eye.
That's cool.
So you're on the right track, you know. How the heart's affected, just check their blood pressure. You know, and that'll tell you right there. If they're sitting there and you got a low E going for a couple minutes, and all of a sudden their blood pressure goes down to normal, then you know that frequency or sound vibration is helping open the circulation. You still there, David?